Forgot to take off my belt, and I got soaked. That went into the, am I on? Okay, he just seemed louder than me, I guess. Psalm 90, if you have a copy of the Word of God. When I first started out preaching in Iowa at the first church, I always would say, take out your copies of the Word of God. And a man came up to me, he's like, I've never heard that before. I don't know. It's just something I always say. It's a copy of the Word of God. Anyway, we've been talking about work lately, and one of the aspects about work that often comes up at our house is, what happens when work and home collide? What happens when you have so many expectations put upon you by your employer that you bring some work home, or maybe you work long hours and it infringes on family time? And then what if, you know, your wife and your kids and whoever it is at your home, they have these expectations, and you got to go to your employer and say, well, you know, I can't work that much. We got to do something different. Oftentimes, work and home collide. Has anybody else here ever had that experience? Work and home. Now, who wins when they collide? That's what we're going to be looking at tonight from the Word of God. Every job, every employer has expectations, but so does each person's family. And even if you love your job, like I love my job, and I feel called by God to do it, it doesn't mean there won't be tension. Doesn't mean there won't be conflict between work and home. Many times, it's a battle, and I used this word a minute ago, with people's expectations. We have expectations to complete projects at work. We have expectations at home, and we have invitations to go here or invitations to go there, and they're constant. They're nonstop for everyone, and please don't think that I'm just pointing to myself in this, because all of us have this. All of us have these things, and something has to give, doesn't it? Either you have to give ground at home or you have to give ground at work. So we think a lot of times our knee-jerk reaction, our initial response is, well, you know, my work and home, there's tension here and there's conflict here. And what should I do? Well, let's rearrange my schedule. Okay, if I schedule more time and rearrange things and change my routine a little bit, or maybe it's just my personal discipline. If I take care of business early, then you know I can and go home and I'll have all this extra time. That might be the initial reaction. Okay, so we work on a better schedule, but I don't know if a better schedule is the answer. Even if you free up some time, something else will come up, won't it? And then that extra time that you thought you had will suddenly be full of other people's expectations. So your schedule isn't the problem. Here's a principle, and we're about to look at the two verses. And for some reason, I did not write down in my sermon when I was supposed to. Here it is, next page. We're still in the introduction. There's a principle I want you to understand. I think this is a solidly biblical principle, and I don't have a chapter and verse necessarily to quote you perfectly, but when I say it, you can think in your mind, use your spiritual discernment, God has gifted you the Holy Spirit, and think about this principle and see if you agree that it's biblical. God always gives us enough time to complete what he wants us to do. You hear that? God always gives us enough time to complete what he wants us to do. The problem is I keep going back to this, is people's expectations. People's expectations often exceed God's expectations. People, maybe they don't feel like they've gotten what they deserve from you, but there's simply not enough time in the day to go everywhere, okay? So what are we going to do about it? What are you going to say no to when work and home collide. Psalm chapter 90, verse 10, and then we'll read verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it will soon cut off, and we will fly away." Skip to verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Recently, in the last couple of funerals I've done, I did one last week, and then I did one 2 weeks before that. I've been quite busy with funerals lately. And I've been telling this story about how a man would put marbles in a jar. And some people, they take out a marble every year, and as they age, they see, well, I have lesser and lesser marbles, lesser and lesser years. The one gentleman actually bought 3,000 marbles. He bought one for every Saturday that he thought he had left up until the life expectancy of 75 years old. And he said to a younger friend of his, he said, "I just took out my last marble." And some of you never had any marbles to begin with. I couldn't resist that one. You lost them? Yeah. Verse 10 in Psalm 90, it says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they're 80 years." Generally speaking, by and large, 70 years is how long men live. In the United States, and 80 is by and large how long women live. So, the Bible was really smart, even before our scientists figured that out, okay? Know how many days we have left, talks about teaching us to number our days. Know that they are going by fast. They're slipping by. And most of you, you look at me and sometimes I talk about like, well, I'm aging. And you look at me and you're like, oh, yeah, right, Josh, Pastor Josh, whatever. But my son, the 12th, was a 6-year-old birthday party. And you folks remember when he was first brought here. I remember him being in the nursery and people having to hold him because he couldn't walk or do anything. Now he's in the first grade class. He is going on junior church activities all by himself. Well, not all by himself, with leaders, but we're not there, okay? We're not the one. It's not his grandpa and grandma. He's going off on his own doing grown-up things It's just, he's growing. And that's the way life is. We have so few days with our kids, with our family, and the days will fly by. And I've had a number of you folks tell me that. And the Bible says number them. What might be a modern way to put number them? How about prioritize them? I think it's talking about prioritizing our time. A lot of people, when they hear a message like this, or some dad that's a workaholic with a bunch of kids at home, what do? They go home, "I'll promise I'll do better." Or, "You know what? I'm going to make it up for you. I know I missed your Little League game here, so I'm going to make it up for you." And they say all these things, and instead of trying to make up or promising to do better, just prioritize your life and learn to say possibly no. Now, some of you are, well, all of us, we're at different stages in life, aren't we? Some of us, like myself, we have small children at home. Others of you have, I look around, Rainey's here. You have older children at home, still in junior high and high school, and one in elementary, and Krista as well. And then a lot of you have children who have moved out of the house. Some of you have children that have their own children, and you've seen them already grow up and go through the stages. And some of you, there's at least one great-grandpa in here, and great, more than one great-grandma. Okay. Is there any great-greats? Great-greats? Okay. We have, in the different stages in life, we might be able to say no to some things or say yes to some things that I could never do because I have to be home with my young children. You might be able to say, because you're retired and your kids have moved out, you might be able to say yes to more things. Or you may be able to say yes at different times. So it's all about these different things. And maybe I would say no to something now. Do you know that might not be no forever? Maybe in a few years I'll be able to say yes because I'm able to schedule my life different. And this is what God's talking about and numbering our days and all these different things. Now we could even go further. What else might it mean? It might mean you have to change jobs. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? If you had went to your boss and said, you know what? I've looked at my schedule and I can give you 50 hours a week and the rest of the time I need to be spending with my family and kids. What if the boss said, no, everybody here works 60? You'd have a choice to make, wouldn't you? What about downsizing? Well, you know what? I can quit that job if I move out of my McMansion into a smaller home. You know, maybe you have to do some things. That's all part of if you sincerely go to God and say, I want to number my days. I want to prioritize my life around the right things. I don't want work to rule my heart. And as you go to him in prayer and in sincere prayer, I think he will give you the strength and the power and the answers. There are things out there that only you can do. Oh, that's my next point. There's things out there that only you can do in this life. Like, I'm the only one that can be a husband to Andrea. Well, you know, what if you get knocked off and she gets remarried? Well, that's the second husband. I'm the only first husband to Andrea. I'm the only father to my children. And there's things that each one of you are doing that only you can do. God has placed you specifically in that role and in that spot. Only you can do those things. Now, there's lots of other things out there that you can do that are good things. But you know what? They're not unique to you. If you get up, and you're bumping up against that collision course with work and family, and you look, wait a second, somebody else can do that, 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 and that. Let somebody else do it. I would say that would be biblical. Don't create crisis in your family's life while you're off fixing another person's crisis. A different pastor said that, and I liked it. I liked it a lot. Don't create a crisis in your family's life while you're off fixing somebody else's crisis. The story was that he and his wife and two daughters, they had been planning to go to this 4th of July parade for weeks and weeks, and they had all purchased matching shirts, and they all matched. I'm sure that wasn't the funnest thing for a man to have matching shirts with his two young daughters, but he did it. And on the way to the parade, his beeper went off, and he said, oh, this is somebody's phone number from church. And he went got on the phone, and they said to him, my husband's leaving, and he's leaving right now, and the only person he'll talk to is you. Come now. And he said the whole way, on the way to that family's house, he was praying, Lord, while I'm out taking care of this family, would you take care of my family? And he said it just hit him like a ton of bricks. I'm off fixing somebody else's crisis, and my family could be going into crisis. And it's not like this other crisis was just sudden. It had probably been building and growing for weeks, months, perhaps even years, right? He probably should have said, you know what, it can wait. Because he actually went, he gave testimony that it caused some serious, serious problems with his kids years later. And I thought that was a fascinating story. So focus on your own stuff. That seems a little trivial. Stuff. Focus on your own priorities, what God has given to you. God, I don't think God will be happy if you fixed everything else but neglected to prioritize your own life. And when I read these verses in Psalms and we've been talking about work, I think this just kind of gives us a nice wrap-up to the topic. We learned about knowing who our boss is, who we truly work for. That's God. We've learned about other things regarding work and working with integrity and even when no one else is looking and all these things. And we're sort of just closing out with this. Number your days. Prioritize your life. When work and home collide, favor home. Favor home. And you know, if you lose your job because of it, I think the Lord would probably help you find a new one. I'm sure, I don't know any exact specifics, but I guarantee the Lord's helped other people find jobs, new jobs. So, you know, a lot of you are in different stages and you don't have to worry about jobs, but that doesn't mean you still don't number your days. Prioritize your life. Let's, questions. Ooh, we wouldn't be here if God didn't put us here. Ooh, yeah, the Lord is the sovereign of the universe. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Any other questions, comments, personal testimonies? Sue. For those of you who didn't hear, Mike and Sue Eby's daughter, Kate, for many years has had an ongoing issue with a kidney, and it's basically in failure, right? So she's getting a new kidney, and she's has a person to donate one. She has a transplant kidney available, and she was all scheduled. She's been scheduled for a couple weeks, I think, or longer, for the 31st, right? Friday. And she's had an ongoing problem with a foot, and they discovered it was broke. So the doctors are sort of like, well, you know, there's a complication to do a surgery when you have this broken foot, but yet she's on dialysis, right? You don't want to be on that for too long. You want a kidney. So pray for Mike and Sue and especially Kate, and we'll keep you folks updated when we find out what happens. Is there anything else like that or anything at all? Mike and Sue, yep. Yes.